I'm Scott French, Associate Professor of Digital and Public History, and you are listening to the Riches Documentary Podcast. Welcome to the Riches Documentary Podcast. Riches, the regional initiative for collecting the histories, experiences, and stories of Central Florida, is an umbrella program housing interdisciplinary public history projects that bring together different departments at the University of Central Florida with profit and nonprofit sectors of the community in order to promote the collection and preservation of the region's history. By facilitating research that records and presents the stories of communities, businesses, and institutions in Central Florida, Riches seeks to provide the region with a deeper sense of its heritage. This series will feature a podcast every 2 weeks in the middle and at the end of each month that will explore various aspects of Central Florida's history. In today's episode, Hamilton Holt and Rollins College, Old Fangled Education, Part 1, former president of Rollins College, Thaddeus Seymour, and Professor Jack Lane discuss the influential life of Hamilton Holt, one of the most celebrated and well-known presidents of the college.
Hamilton Holt, born August 18, 1872 in Brooklyn, New York, became an extremely influential and interesting figure in Central Florida history. Hamilton Holt was an educator, editor, author, and politician, and he is notably known for being a controversial, progressive, and successful president of Rollins College, located in Winter Park. Both Dr. Jack Lane and Dr. Thaddeus Seymour sat down to discuss the fascinating history of Hamilton Holt and Rollins College. Dr. Jack Lane, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you have done at Rollins?
I am Professor Jack Lane, the Waddell Professor of American History and also designated college historian. I wrote a 9-chapter history of Rollins and also pictorial history. And I am emeritus. I retired in 1999, but I still teach a couple of courses a year here at the college. Okay.
Dr. Thaddeus Seymour, could you introduce yourself and tell us of your accomplishments?
My name is Thaddeus Seymour. I was privileged to serve as the 12th president from 1978 to 1990. Then I continued as a member of the English department faculty and taught poetry, mostly through the Rollins College Conference course, to new students at Rollins. And I fully retired 2 years ago, celebrating my 80th birthday with retirement.
Could you give us a brief history of Rollins College?
The college, as you may know, was founded in 1885. It was the first college in Florida to get a charter for a college. So it is the first institution of higher education in Florida. And it started at a time when this was just a little frontier area. The process of getting it to Winter Park was through bids from various towns around, and Winter Park just outbid everybody else. And they also had, I think, everybody recognized the best location here. The money had been given. For this land had been given here as a part of the donation. And when they saw that it was on the lakes here, they were much impressed by that. And so the college began rather slowly because there were very few people in Central Florida. And between 1885 and 1900, the college really struggled because there were no really any very good high schools in Florida to provide an avenue for kids to come in here. And moreover, before 1895, Rollins had a classical curriculum which required everyone to know huge amounts of Greek and Latin and to be able to read and write Greek and Latin. So it had a curriculum that was based upon the classics, and there were very few people here in Florida who could even meet the requirements to enter Rollins. So it struggled along. And finally, in 1895, they changed the curriculum and did not require that much Greek and Latin to enter the college. And so it began to do pretty well then, began to attract students. And then came the war in 1917, and it just wiped out most of the male population here at the college. So by 1920, the college was really struggling to, and there was some question as to whether or not it was going to be able to make it. And so they decided to try one more thing.
What did Hamilton Holt do before becoming president of Rollins College?
Holt was a very prominent figure at the turn of the century and in the first two decades after the turn of the century in a number of ways. Number one, he was editor of the Independent magazine. It's gone out of existence a long time ago, but at the turn of the century, it was all of the equivalent popularity of Time or Newsweek kind of magazine, except it was a literary magazine. During his tenure as editor, he's from the old Holt Publishing family. During his tenure as editor, though, they ran year after year a series of articles on education in America. And a lot of it was an attempt to show that education needed to be reformed. Surprise, surprise, we are still doing that now. And Holt, therefore, read all of these and came to know a lot of educators because of this. In the teens, in the 19-teens, he became deeply involved in the peace movement of that period and was one of the people who was pretty prominent in getting the League of Nations started. And so he knew, through his editorship and through this process, he knew huge numbers of political figures and other prominent people throughout the Northeast. So he was a very, very prominent person. And the idea that he would come to Florida in this fledgling little college down in the provinces, well, that seemed a bit obscure.
How was Hamilton Holt connected to Robert Frost?
One of the delightful discoveries for me when I was doing research for my poetry teaching was looking up Robert Frost in the archives and discovering a letter from Hamilton Holt to Robert Frost and Robert Frost's reply. 1936, Hamilton Holt invited Robert Frost to speak at the Animated magazine. And Robert Frost wrote back, and his letter begins, "I have never forgotten my debt to you and the Ward family." And I was curious what that meant. Here's what it meant. Hamilton Holt began working for the Independent magazine right after he graduated from college, and one of the first pieces of paper to cross his desk was a sheaf of poems from a poet in New Hampshire whom he didn't know and had obviously never heard of. And one of the poems was called My Butterfly, which the Independent decided to publish. It was the first poem of Robert Frost ever published.
How did Hamilton Holt come to Rollins College and become its president?
Actually, Hamilton Holt first visited Rollins when he was speaking on behalf of the World Court and the League of Nations, so he'd already been to the campus as a visiting speaker, but he was reintroduced to the college by his friend Irving Batchelor, who had moved to Winter Park in 1918. Irving Batchelor became a trustee of Rollins and, in fact, was the chair of the committee to search for a new president. So he wrote to his friend Hamilton Holt, who had just been defeated in his race for the U.S. Senate in Connecticut, so he knew Hamilton Holt was sort of at large, and suggested that he consider becoming president of Rollins. And Hamilton Holt came down and met with the trustees, and they liked him, and he liked them, and so he came in 1925.
How did Hamilton Holt change the curriculum and teaching practices of Rollins College?
And he introduced what was then, we would call now, a progressive curriculum. He came in April, and by the time the school started in September, he had a whole new curriculum for the faculty to introduce, and it was really based upon the Dewey, and he knew John Dewey, based upon the Dewey concept of student-centered education. And Holt therefore turned Rollins into what it turns out to be a progressive education.
What were some of Hamilton Holt's philosophies and opinions on education?
Hamilton Holt had gone to Yale, and Yale was a traditional, old-fashioned college with lectures, recitations, examinations, where the student was simply expected to repeat back to the faculty what it was a men's college then, what he had learned in the classroom. Hamilton Holt knew that was wrong, that students should be the center of the curriculum, not the information the center of the curriculum. So he came to Rollins to revolutionize education, to replace classes and lectures with conferences where students sat around a table with their professors, where classes were 2 hours long, not 50 minutes. So there was ample time to question and explore and exchange ideas. And he instituted the conference plan. Now that idea continues at Rollins today. The course for first-year students is called the Rollins College Conference, and it's taught to small groups of about 18 students who can sit around and spend their time in conference rather than, in effect, in class.
Could you explain Hamilton Holt's phrase, old-fangled education?
I had fun when they asked me the title of my talk, fun going back to Hamilton Holt's little pamphlet, An Adventure in Old-Fangled Education. Fun because that's pure Hamilton Holt, taking the term newfangled and turning it upside down and applying it to education, which he called an adventure. I think most people thinking about education, particularly in those days, didn't think of it as an adventure, but more as a responsibility. And they thought of newfangled as being the cutting edge, but he was saying, old-fangled, let's go back to what education is really all about. Education is about students. Students learning, not students reciting what a professor has told them. In fact, he said, you know, it's crazy that the professor quizzes the student to find out if the student heard what the professor said. The student should be quizzing the professor to learn what the professor knows. So old-fangled is Hamilton Holt simply taking a familiar idea and making it fresh and unfamiliar.
Were there a lot of objections by current professors at Rollins College when Hamilton Holt changed the curriculum?
When the professor showed back up in September, ready for classes, they had a new curriculum in their laps. And there was some resistance, you know, what is this? We had nothing to do with this and so forth. So, I mean, there was a lot of debate. But then as they began to see the possibilities of it, as far as I can tell from the record, most of them bought into it. They didn't leave anyway. They didn't leave the college. They stayed. And you know how deeply they bought into it, because Holt's idea was, we're going to get rid of the lecture. The classroom is going to last 2 hours. It's going to be like a editorial room, where the professors just are facilitators and the students are working in the classroom. And most bought into it. And then it is true that from that point on, and this is a period when presidents were pretty much autonomous in what they could do. This is before tenure, okay? And so presidents hired and fired at will in this thing. Holt did this all the time. Holt would find somebody he liked as a professor, and he would come down and tell the department they had a new professor in their department. He did this all the time. And so he did begin to recruit professors and seek out professors who bought into this whole idea.
Could you tell us about the conference that Hamilton Holt held about progressive education?
In 1932, they decided to become a conscious progressive education. They invited John Dewey down for a conference. And that was the first, and they invited all the progressive colleges in the Northeast down, presidents and deans. And so they held a week-long conference on how you could use progressive educational principles in colleges. And that was a momentous occasion for the Dewey came down and chaired that conference.
Did Hamilton Holt abolish final exams?
After the conference, then, Rawlings revised its curriculum to meet the principles that they had discussed in this conference. And one of the principles was that final exams would not be the way of assessing students' progress, that it would go on all during the term, and there, by that time, there would be no need for a final exam because professors and students would be meeting constantly assessing their progress. So there for a while, yes, there were no final exams. There was, at the end of the senior year, a kind of comprehensive oral examination with the professors.
Thank you for listening to the Riches Documentary Podcast. Feel free to contact us with any questions or comments on the program that you just heard. Please join us for the next episode, Hamilton Holt and Rawlings College, Old Fangled Education, Part 2.